ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continue our reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, text number 4. The text, the chapter is entitled Story of King Vena. Sa Arura Nirpasthana.
Sa Arura Nirpasthana.
उन्नधो अस्त विभूति अवमेन महाभागन सतब्ध संभावित सारुढ़ानृपस्थान अवमेने महाभागन स्ताब्ध संभावित स्वता सारुढ़ानृपस्थाना उन्नदोऽस्तविभूतिभिः अवमेने महाभागन स्तब्ध संभावित Word for meanings, Saha, King Vena, Arudha, ascended to, Nirpasthana, the seat of the king. Unnabdha, very proud. Astha, eight. Vibhutivhi, by opulences. Abhamene, began to insult. Mahabhagan, great personalities. Stabda, inconsiderate. Sambhavita, considered great. Swataha, by himself. Translation. When the king ascended to the throne, he became all-powerful with eight kinds of opulences. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus, he began to insult great personalities. Translation responsibly. When the king ascended to the throne,
he became all powerful
with eight kinds of opulences. Consequently, he became too proud. By virtue of his false prestige, he considered himself to be greater than anyone. Thus, he began to insult great personalities. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this verse, the word Ashta Vibhuti Bhi, meaning eight opulences, is very important. The king is supposed to possess eight kinds of opulences. By the dint of mystic yoga practice, kings generally acquire these eight opulences. These kings were called Rajarishis, kings who were also great sages. By practicing mystic yoga, a Rajarishi could become smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest, and could get whatever he desired. A Rajarishi could also create a kingdom, bring everyone under his control, and rule everyone. These were some of the opulences of the king. King Bena, however, was not practicing yoga, but he became very proud of his royal position nonetheless, because he was not very considerate. He began to misuse his power and insult the great personalities. Om Agyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitanmena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Utapad Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tanshivam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakamitam Sa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with the permission of the senior Vaishnavas, we'll just try to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam, the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we continue to hear the great narration. Bhagavatam is full of all different kinds of emotions, and you can see it could make a great movie. It's like it's had all the dynamics of the anger, the frustrations, and the different kinds of emotions are there. So we are hearing the pastimes of the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. In the line of descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, King Anga had a son, Vena. So we are studying this particular chapter is all about King Vena. King Vena was such a personality that it's an opposite of positive. It was just a negative in all directions. Even when he was a kid, one of the sporting activity was he used to just get other kids and then in the play mode, he will even kill them. Not only kill them, he just beat them. Different kinds of atrocities he used to. So he was just cruel in from very beginning of his life. And the father, the Anga, after so many of attempts, he got so detached from this, so he decided to leave the kingdom. And he just became detached from the whole kingdom and just went to the forest. And the brahmanas, now the kingdom is without the king. And the rogues and thieves and all those the bad elements and in the they were overtaking. So in the state of emergency, the brahmanas have installed the vena, the king. One of the reasons could be that because the vena was so powerful in his power and everything, that to get rid of all these thieves and the drugs and all the bad elements, they installed him. So as soon as he was installed, these thieves and everything, they all participated. They were all gone to the forest. I mean, they'd hit him. They were controlled. Because the fear of King Anga, King Vena. So now today, this particular verse, we're hearing that as soon as he was put into a throne, immediately what happened? He became proud. Pride came in. Now he's a king. He has the power. He's got the... So what is he doing? He's now started to even insult the great personalities. We will hear in the future story that how even he installs, he even claims that I am now God. You worship me. Because king is supposed to be a representative of all the gods, where the representative is in the body of the king. So therefore you worship me. I am the supreme now. So you will hear these kind of narrations in the future. So now we have this kind of description in one hand. In the other hand, we have a sons who are completely opposite of Vena's characters, such as we could see the very obedient and dedicated son like Bhishma. In the pastimes in Mahabharata, before he was Bhishma, he was Devarata, he was a prince. His father, Santanu, he wanted to marry the fisherman's daughter. And the story goes the father of the daughter, the fisherman's daughter, Satyavati, he made a condition to the king, Santanu, saying that you already have a crown prince, which is Bhishma Dev, who is already crown prince. He wanted his daughter's kids to inherit the throne. So he made a condition that I cannot marry Satyavati to you because you already have a throne. So I want the Satyavati's sons to be a king. So the story goes, as we all know, so he was detected, so the Santanu wasn't happy. Then when Devrata or Bhishma, and young Bhishma's the name, earlier name was Devrata. So when he found out the reason why his father wasn't so happy, then he went to the Satyavati's father and said, "I will not marry." So if you're afraid that my king my sons or they will not, so I will not I will not, first he said, I will not be a king. And then secondly, he said he would not get married. He would remain brahmachari for the rest of life. So such was the point here is that he was such a dedicated son. Whereas Vena is completely opposite. He was just cruel as. And similar instance we also find in the pastimes of Lord Parshuram. When Parshuram's father his wife, Jamadagni is the father of Parshuram. His wife went to get some water for the yajna performance. When she got to the Ganges, there was the Gandharva king. He was sporting in the air, so she had a little bit of attraction. And when the water was not there for the performance of yajna, then Jamadagni through his mystic, he could understand what had happened. She was delayed because she was so immediately. Jamadagni asked his sons, kill him. And the brothers of Parshuram said, no, I will not kill. But when this request was made to Parshuram, Parshuram immediately followed the instruction, knowing the fact that Jamadagni had a power. So the story goes that when this request was fulfilled, then the Jamadagni asked Lord Parshuram to say, what boon would you like? He said, okay, revive my mother and the brothers, because he also asked his brother to be killed because they didn't follow the instructions. So Parshuram did kill his brothers and his mother, but in request he requested to revive both mother and the brothers. So the point here again, this is the loyal son, how loyal it is. And again, in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, similar. At the coronation is just about to take place, but when Lord Ramachandra finds out that he was being banished, and Lord Ramachandra follows the instructions or the whole. So we see a one hand we have such a great personalities in the great son, the great qualities. On the other hand, we see all these kind of personalities also exist. And in Srila Prabhupada, in this particular purport, talks about the Asta Siddhis. Even in the sloka it is mentioned, Asta Vibhutivi. These are eight mystic opulences, the power that the great kings, the great sages, and different personalities had these great opulences. So I thought of today, just we will spend a little bit of time just to understand what are these. These opulences, these are siddhis. Siddhis are a mystic perfection. You could manipulate a matter, or you could control the elements. And this is the power, it's through the mystical power. So these Asta Siddhis are the byproducts of the process of yoga. When Ashtanga, the eight limbs of yoga is perfectly followed, the byproduct is that you get these Asta Siddhis. So there are eight limbs of yoga, as I mentioned. This is in
In the 11th canto, we find very beautiful description. The Lord Krishna, in Uddhava Gita, when Lord Krishna was requested by Uddhava to instruct him, one of the process Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava was the whole process of Ashtanga Yoga. That's in chapter 14. And the following that, Lord Krishna also mentions about the siddhis. So in that request, Lord Krishna also explains these siddhis in very detail, gives them each the siddhis, and then he explains them what are they, what. So in Ashtanga Yoga, there are 8 limbs: Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. These are the 8 limbs of yoga. In Yama, there's also 8, there's 10 of them. The Yama means that that's something we do. And Niyama is something don't. So there's do's and don'ts. So we mentally follow Ahimsa, which is non-violence, Satya, truthfulness, Asteya, not stealing, Brahmacharya, the chastity or Brahmacharya, the celibates, Chama, forgiveness, fortitude, compassion, non-hypocrisy or sincerity, which is Arjava, Matahara or Mitahara means measured diet or controlling diet, Shaucha, purity and cleanliness. These are some subcategories of the Yama. And there's Niyama. Niyama also has got a more to follow. These are Santosa, or the contentment, completely satisfied. Tapas, austere. Swadhyaya, which is studying of the Vedas or scriptures. Ishwara Paradhina, or completely depending on the Lord. So these are some of the subcategories that is to be followed within the 8 limbs of yoga. So after these, following all these one comes to the platform of asana, which is the postures and different types of postures and meditation. So we can see our modern days that they without following all these, they become a yoga. They have so many yoga classes or yoga, but primarily they were more in gymnastic or more an ashram, the physical. It's not really following the depth or the real process of yoga. So then comes the pranayama, breathing, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. These are different 8 the limbs of yoga, astanga yoga. Asta means 8, anga means the limbs. So after following this, then as I mentioned, a byproduct is the siddhis, the perfections one gets. So this, in this particular verse, mentions about the 8 kinds of different siddhis or perfections. So in the chapter 15th of 11th cantos, Lord Krishna explains what are these Ashta siddhis are. So the first one is anima. Anima is the becoming as smaller than the smallest. That is the first siddhi of the... And the second one is the mahima, becoming greater than greatest. For example, some of the personality like Hanuman, Vyasadeva, and many other rishis, they have these 8 perfections in full. They, for example, Hanuman displayed this. He became the smallest than the smallest. And when time was needed to become a greatest, he also became a greatest. And third one is laghima, becoming lighter than the lightest. And there is a prapti, the fourth one is prapti, the acquire whatever one desires. The fifth one is the prakamya siddhi. One experiences any enjoyable objects either in this world or next. Even he can get anything that he desired, he can get through that siddhi. Isita siddhi, one can manipulate sub-potencies of maya or anything illusory he could create. Basita siddhi, one is impeded by the three modes. So this particular siddhi has a power to control three modes. And the number eight is kamabhasaita siddhi. One obtains everything from anywhere to highest possible limit. So whatever he wishes, he desires, one can get from this siddhi. So these are the eight different siddhis as mentioned in this verse. This is explained by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. So not only these, there are also these are the primary eight asa siddhis. Lord Krishna also explained these as secondary siddhis. They are powers of freeing oneself from hunger and thirst. It's called Arumi Mattava Siddhi. Arumi Mattam Siddhi. Which means that the one can actually have a power to control hunger, thirst, and different freeing and other elements. There is another siddhi called Dehismin Siddhi, which is becoming a overcome bodily disturbances. And there are also a hearing and seeing from far away. So the third one, this is a subcategory, there's about 10 of them. And the moving the body at the speed of mind, assuming any form one desires, entering the body of others, dying when one desires, witnesses pastimes between the demigods and celestial apsaras. Even you can actually see what's taking place in different places, even not only this planet, but you can also see the other planets. There's a sankalpa siddhi, which is completely executing one's determination. So whatever you desire or you determine, you can perform that for this siddhi. And there's also a giving orders. It's called a agya or arthatya siddhi. Apratita. Agya apratita siddhi. Giving orders to whose fulfillment is completely without whatever he orders, he can get that. So these are the 10, the secondary siddhis is mentioned by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto. There are also three more inferior mystical power, which is very limited. One is Trikalagya Siddhi, the power to know past, present and future. There is another one, it's called a tolerance to heat, cold and other dualities. It's called Advatvam Siddhi. Advatvam Siddhi. Another one is called knowing the minds of others. Parachitta Adi Abhigya Siddhi. There's fourth one is checking the influence of fire, sun, water, poison, and so on. And the fifth one was remaining unconquered by others. Aparajaya Siddhi. So these are the different siddhis we have perfection, as I mentioned. And this is just the knowledge. It's not that we are perfect and we're looking for, wanting to perfect these. But this is just the knowledge that is there for a preaching purpose. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami mentions that bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala santa. He mentions siddhi. So those who acquire these kind of mystical powers is known as siddhis, or these are the siddhi, different siddhis. He says, bhukti, those who are wanting a enjoyment. Mukti, those who are wanting a liberation. And those who are wanting a siddhis, siddhis mentioned. O kami, one who desires different enjoyments. Sakala asanta. They are dissatisfied. They are useless. This is the statement of Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami Chaitanya Charitamrita in Mati Lila. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam. Krishna Bhakta do not have these desires to perfect these siddhis. They are completely aloof from these. They are not wanting all these siddhis. Ata eva santa. They completely satisfies. Having all these mystical perfections is temporary, because this mystical power, you can have these powers until you have this body, or they are limited. It does not carry on to a next life. Once you have this, all these powers, but when this body finishes, power finishes. So they are temporary. So for the devotees, that they know this is all these perfections, what's the point? People are striving, and we could see, and even these siddhis now for the Kali Yuga, it's very, very, very rare. Because if you read the description Lord Krishna describes, that every siddhis you would like to attain has got a process to follow. These processes are not so easy, but more primarily all these processes to obtain these siddhis are through the worship of the Lord, either directly or indirectly. Because the age of Kali, we do not have that quality to obtain these siddhis. Therefore, it is not there. But there are some people who have some little siddhis, very minute in quantity. And then unfortunately we have these the followers. They put him in the category of God, because one can produce a little ashes, or one can maybe do something, just bring some rasgulla from somewhere else and give it to you. These are siddhis. It's very very. So for the devotee, it is just a manipulating matters. What do we do not wish this. Therefore, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, sakala santa, means they completely disturbed, then they just unhappy. The real happiness is nishkam, Krishna bhakta nishkam, because they don't have this desire to how they attain this perfection. And in we find a story of like these. Our Goswamis, our devotees, the acharyas, our Goswamis, for example, they actually had these powers, but they did not display to start with. Even there was an opportunity to display, they did it in such a way that this is completely useless. For example, Sanatana Goswami had this touchstone. He had this touchstone in his power. What did he put it? He put it in a beam. When this personality, there was a merchant, he did meditation to Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva, he wanted a very important thing, that is very useful, valuable thing. Lord Shiva told him to go to Vrindavan and go to Sanatana Goswami. He has the most valuable thing. When this merchant went to approach Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami was he told him the story, and then Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh yeah, yeah, okay. Go in the bin and have a look. There's a touchstone there. Whatever you touch, it could turn into a gold." So this merchant goes in the bin and then finds this touchstone, and he experiments, and he actually it works. Then he was going home. As he was going home, he said, "Hang on. This was the most valuable thing. And it was kept in the bin." So then he realizes, okay, there must be something else. Let me go back. So this merchant comes back to Sanatana Goswami and says, he asks Sanatana Goswami, "Why did you keep this most valuable thing in the bin? Then you must have something very valuable." So Sanatana Goswami says, "Yes, I have valuable, but I will give you in one condition. Get this touchstone and throw it in Yamuna. Then I'll give you the more valuable thing than I have." Then this merchant follows the instruction. He throws the touchstone into Yamuna River. And then he comes back and says, give me the. Then Sanatana Goswami explains the glories of the holy name, and he grants him the holy name, chanting the holy name, because whatever he will attain through this touchstone, you could touch into a gold, you will have a lot of opulences, but this is all temporary. How much can you enjoy? That's very valueless. The holy name that has a value in this life. One person becomes a great personality, he's out of the cycle of birth and death. How valuable is that? So he explains the value of the holy name, and then this big personality becomes a devotee. And another instance also, there was another great personality, Vaishnava, in Nimbaka Sampradaya, Haridas Shastri. Pandit. He was such a great musician. He's a great devotee. Once he had a visit from the King Akbar. Akbar at the time was the emperor. Hearing the glories and the caliber, the Haridas was a saintly personality, a Vaishnava in Nimbaka Sampradaya. And he was a top musician. Tansen was one of the musicians. He used to practice. He was a disciple of Haridas. And through him, he came to know the greatness of the Haridas. And so he came to see Haridas in Vrindavan. And after meeting with Haridas, and he was so moved by his devotion, by his the characters, and he wanted to offer something as a king. He wanted to offer something to Haridas. Says, "Can I please give you? What would you like?" And Haridas would say, "I do not need anything. I'm satisfied. I'm completely happy. No need." So after insisting for a long period of time, he said, "I want to do something. Give me something to do." Then the Haridas would say, "Okay, if you really want to do something, go with my disciple, go to the Yamuna, and one of the steps, a little piece is broken. Just go and fix that. That's your duty." So when this emperor reaches the place where it was mentioned in the bank of Yamuna, the step that was broken, what he can see by the power of this Haridasa, he could see the actual opulence that we don't see it. We will see as from our mundane eyes, we see a little the stones and everything. But he was given that power by this sage, by this personality, to actually see what the opulence of this steps were. They were made of the value, most valuable jewels. You can even see jewels, diamonds. You could just the opulence. It was that he said, the Akbar said, that if even I give the whole kingdom, the opulence of all my kingdom cannot repair that particular steps, because it is made of such a it's a great the diamonds and the jewels that were used to put embedded on these steps were far superior, because they're not spiritual. Through the vision of the power of this great Haridas, he could see that. He said, then he came, the Akbar came back to Haridas and said, he really apologized and said, even as he said, I can give all my treasury, but I cannot repair that because it's such a valuable thing. This is a value. So these were, the point I'm trying making is that these siddhis, these personalities, these Vaishnavas, they had this, but they didn't use it. When to teach somebody, a great person like this, that then they exhibited. This was not exhibited. So these siddhis and all these things are not really the high in principle. They are yogis and different. They try to achieve this, but for a devotee, these are very temporary and impermanent. So, so having these powers, as the King Vena was, he did not attain the perfection, but however he acted that he had these powers, because he became a king, so he started to insult the great personalities. So I'd like to stop here. So if anybody has got questions or comments, take the questions now. It is the whole purpose is all about Asta Siddhis. So alright, so if there's no questions, so we'll end the class. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanand.